is flying back down south tomorrow morning early, so they're just spending a bit more time together as a family before their family head off. So you'll have to excuse them for not being here tonight. How is everybody? You feeling as quiet and as tired as what I am? It's a good thing you're sitting way back there. All right. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions tonight. The first one is this: what are we known for? What are we known for? What are we known for as individual believers? And what are we known for as a church? As a believer, am I someone that's known as full of joy despite hardship? Am I known as someone that is sold out for Christ? Or perhaps I'm known as someone that's a bit jaded because of my past. Maybe I'm known as a little bit cantankerous. Maybe I'm a believer that's always trying to win others to Christ, and that's a great thing. Or maybe I'm known as a believer that's walk with God is evident. But what are we known for tonight? What are we known for as a church at Good Shepherd here? What is it that we're known for? Are we known for our conference? Is that the only thing that comes up when people think of Good Shepherd? Oh, well, those guys put on a pretty good conference. Are we known for our Christmas carols? Is that what stands out about us? Are we known for the school? And the school is a great ministry, and conference is a great ministry, and carols, great ministry. But are those the things that we should be known for? Are we known for our past? For our past successes, perhaps for our past mistakes, for the past hurts that we have. What are we known for as a church? What are we known for as individual believers? I guess that leads me to my second question tonight. What should we be known for? When people talk about us as believers, when they talk about Phil Parry as a believer, what should I be known for? When they talk about you, what is it that the Bible tells us we should be known for as believers? When people talk about Good Shepherd, what should they say? We're going to look at a couple of passages tonight. I'm not going to ask you to go to all of these. I've got them here, so I'll read them. We're going to spend, where I do want you to go is go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look there, and those of you that are in my life groups class, you'll have already heard some of this, but I'm sure it won't hurt for you to hear some of it again. I'm looking at you, Gary. Over the last couple months, at the start of this year, I was really praying through, you know, what should I be studying this year, Lord, in my devotional time? What is it that you would have me? You know, we tend to read through our Bible, and we have goals. I want to read through my Bible this year. I want to, you know, we tend to have those goals, and those goals are great, but this year I just felt that I needed to spend some time in prayer asking God, what would you have me spend time in? And I felt for myself that I needed to spend time and just focus on what Paul wrote, the letters that Paul wrote. So over the last few months, that's where I've been sitting. But if we look at a few of these letters here, we start to get a good picture that answers that question. What should we be known for? We get a good picture of that, and then we also get some really good pictures from Paul on how do we get to that point? How do we achieve that? So let's look at a couple of them here, and we'll see if we can start pulling them out. Look at Romans chapter 1, and then we'll start in verse 7 there. We'll look at verse 7 and 8. He says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So maybe we could rephrase that question, not just what are we known for, but what do people speak of about us? Well, conversations come up when it's about us. Have a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." We're starting to get a picture here of what we should look like. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Verse 4, "so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations." Hey, your growth of faith and your charity towards one another, that's encouraging for us. We're not part of your body. We're not part of your church. We're not part of your group of believers. But as we watch you and as we hear of you, we're encouraged. We're strengthened. We're enriched. Paul writes to Timothy, and this is a personal one. It's not to a group. But in 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, he says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved and turned aside unto vain jangling." Charity, faith. In Colossians 1, verse 2, "To the saints and fellow brethren in Christ, which are in Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from the God Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have for all the saints, for the hope which ye have laid up in heaven." But there's another side to this too. We hear these ones and we see this faith, hope, and love. But there's another side to this too. In Galatians, we get a completely different picture. As he writes to Galatians, we see in verse 3 through 7, "Grace be unto you and peace from the God and Father." He writes that a lot. "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins." The start point's the same. The start point's the same for all of them. There's grace and there's peace with God. "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God the Father, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Verse 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." What is it that we're known for? We see these churches and these believers that Paul writes to here. And on one hand, we have believers, and he talks about their faith. He talks about their hope. He talks about their love for one another and the encouragement that that is to him, the encouragement that that is to other believers. And then on the other hand, we see a church, we see a group of believers that had the same start point in the gospel, the same opportunities. "But I marvel that you're so soon removed." They got off track. What are we known for? What are you as an individual, as a believer, what are you known for? Let's settle in Colossians for the next few moments. Because the reality is, just as it was for the Galatians and the Colossians, just as it is for, or was for the believers in Rome and in Thessalonica and for Timothy, there's a danger there for us. And if we lose sight of what's important, the ramifications are far greater than we realize. But there's hope. Perhaps you're caught in a slump right now. Perhaps you are in that point where you're reflecting on the past and past hurts and past things, and you're caught in that cycle and that slump. But there's hope. We can come out of that. We can move forward. So go ahead, come to Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, and let's read that again. To the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love which ye have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, faith, hope, and love. And Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 13:13, doesn't he? And we all know that. He says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. We've heard this. This isn't anything new to us. So why is this so important? Why is this the thing that Paul comes back to letter after letter after letter? Why is it so important that we, a good shepherd, are marked by love? Why is it so important as a church that our faith is heard of? Why is it so important as a church to be a church that is known for our hope in Jesus Christ? We're not just an events center. It's important that we know this because it points to the gospel. It's important that we live this out in our own lives because it points to Christ. It points to the work that He's doing within us. It's the gospel that brings forth fruit. It's the word of God that brings forth fruit. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Verse 6, which has come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit. The gospel brings forth fruit. If we're not a church that's marked by a love for one another, if we're not a church that's marked by a faith in a true God, a real God, the one and only God, if we're not a church that's marked by hope in God, then what are we marked by? How do we become that church? If we're not now, and if we're not as individual believers, how do we become that? Have a look at the next few verses there in Colossians. Because it can't be about our conferences. And it can't be about Christmas carols or our programs. Those things are great. And we can't keep blaming the mistakes of our past. We can't keep pushing that weight onto our past and going, well, this happened, so this is why we're here. We've got to move past those things. We've got to be looking forward. And Paul spells it out in his prayer for these believers in the Colossae. This has to be personal. We're not looking around and pointing fingers. This is me. This is what I need. This is what I must do, what I must apply in my life. And if this church is going to go forth, if we're going to be known for our faith, for our love, for our hope, look at verse 9. For this cause, what's the cause? The cause is the truth of the gospel and that it will continue to bear fruit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. That's how much value there is in this. That Paul says, we don't cease to pray for these things within you. Since the day we heard of, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom, sorry, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, excuse me, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. The first thing we see there is being filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Andrew, did you change this? Where does that knowledge and that wisdom come from? Well, James tells us to ask God, who gives it to us liberally. We go to God for wisdom. We go to God for spiritual understanding. We spend time in this so that we can gain that spiritual understanding and that wisdom. We trust the Holy Spirit that he'll work in us and that he'll lead us and he'll guide us. That knowledge is so that we will understand his will. Not my will, his will. And that desire to understand his will is going to produce some things within me, within us, as a group of believers that are going to change things. They're going to change us. First thing we see there in verse 10, he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. The first thing that it's going to do when we desire to grow in knowledge, when we desire to grow in wisdom, when we desire to grow in spiritual understanding of God's will, not my will, of God's will, is it's going to produce in me a worthy walk. We have to have a worthy walk. Of the Lord unto all pleasing, a walk that is pleasing to God. Look at verse 10 again. We'll see the second one here. Being fruitful in every good work. It's going to produce in me a worthy walk. And then as I walk worthy, pleasing God, it's going to produce a fruitful life out of this mess, this shambles of a life. That's what a worthy walk does. It takes something that is broken and is disintegrating, something worthless, and it turns it into something fruitful. Now, that's exciting. That's exciting when you look at your broken body and you go, this thing, how can God use this? But it says it right there, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. As I walk worthy, the fruit comes. Look at the next part in verse 10, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So I desire to know God's will for my life, and I'm increasing in that. I'm desiring, I'm going to God for wisdom. I'm spending time in my Bible, and there's a result that comes out of that. As I desire to know God's will, it impacts my life. My life, my walk becomes worthy. As my walk becomes worthy, there's fruit that starts to come out of that. And then look at the next part there, and increasing in the knowledge of God, that fruitful life is going to create in me a desire to be more knowledgeable about God. I want to know more. I want to increase in that fruitfulness. I want to increase in that walk that I have. I want to know more. It produces in me a thirst for growth as a believer. And then there's evidence of that growth. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Then we look at verse 11, and he says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Guess what? As you desire to understand God's will for your life, and as you start to walk worthy, and as you start to produce fruit, and as you then desire to increase in knowledge, guess what? You're going to get attacked. Satan's not going to stand for that. You're going to come under attack. And that's where that next verse there is so important. Strengthened with all might, not according to my strength and my power. This isn't about me mustering up more strength to do better in my devotions, or about me mustering up more strength to be able to go out and witness more, about me mustering up the strength to come to church. This isn't that. This is strength that comes from God. When this body starts to break down, when this mind starts to break down, Andrew's already looking at me like, yep, that happened ages ago for you, buddy. Yeah? When this starts to break down, when Satan starts to attack, I'm not drawing on my own strength, I can go to God for strength. The increase comes from God. And then let's look at the rest of that verse there. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. There's something that comes out of that. Not only does it produce in me a strength that's based on God's power, not my own, but it will produce in me a joyfulness and an endurance to keep going when it gets tough. Look at that there. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Yeah, it's going to get hard. And yeah, the past is messy. And there are things that we look back on and they hurt. And there are things that still weigh heavy on us. And there are things that still impact our lives. There are things that still impact our church. But our strength comes from God. And in that strength, there is a patience. And out of that patience comes a joyfulness. Because I know that I'm in the will of God. And I desire to know more about that. I desire to understand more intimately what it is that God wants me to do with my life. And I understand that. And God, this hurts. And I don't understand this. But God, I want to be in your will. And I'm going to grow in knowledge and I'm going to grow in wisdom. And that's going to impact my walk. And I'm going to walk worthy now. And because I'm walking worthy, there's going to be fruit that comes out of that. And that's exciting and I love that. But now I need more knowledge. And I'm growing in knowledge, but now Satan is hitting me and he's attacking me more. And guess what, God? I'm so excited because I can come to you for my strength. And I don't have to depend on this broken body and this weak mind anymore. Because I've got everything that I need here. Not here. And I know I'm going to get attacked. But we can withstand. We can move forward. How do we have a church that is known for our faith? How do we have a church that is known for our love? How do we have a church that is known for our hope? We as individuals within this church, we as believers within this church, let's not worry about anyone else. Let's not worry about anyone else's church. We in this church, let's seek to understand God's will for our lives. Let's desire to walk worthy. Let's desire to have fruit-filled lives. Let's pray that God will produce a thirst within us. Let's pray that God will produce a strength within us that's only attributable to Him. And then when things get tough, and they will, we know that, we endure with joy in the knowledge that we are in God's will. So let me ask again, what are we known for? A Good Shepherd Baptist Church, what are we known for? Are we known for our faith in Jesus Christ? Are we known for our love for all the saints? Are we known for our hope, which is laid up for us in heaven. If we're not, if that's not where we are, if that's not where you are, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility not to point the finger or to blame the past or to blame mistakes of someone else. Our responsibility is to seek God's will individually and then to watch as He changes us individually. And as we individually are changed, this changes. What are we known for? What are you known for? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly tonight. Father, all of us are broken sinners. There's not one of us here that could stand before your holy throne of grace and say, I'm not like them. There's something different about me, God. I'm not a sinner. Father, there's not one of us here that fits that. Father, in your love and your grace and your mercy, when we were yet sinners, when we were your enemies, Father, you sent your Son to die for me, to save this wretched sinner, Father, so that I could be restored to a right relationship with you. And so, Father, tonight I pray that our desire individually would be, Father, to know your will, to, Father, desire to glorify you with our lives. And Father, to desire to increase in our knowledge of you, to desire to walk worthy, to desire to be fruitful. And then, Father, to depend on your strength. And Father, as we endure, and Father, we know that we are within your will, Father, we do that with joy. And then, Father, we pray that as the world watches, as our families watch, Father, that we as a church, that we as individuals will be known for our love for each other. That we be known for our faith in you. That we be known for our hope, our inexplainable hope for an eternity with you. Father, you are so good to us. And there is nothing within us that deserves any of that. But Father, you draw us to yourself and you train us, and you mold us and you shape us, Father, so that we can better glorify you. Father, tonight we come before you and we love you. Father, more than that, you love us. And Father, tonight I pray that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.